The message today is surviving loneliness. And I don't know if you've ever heard a message on loneliness before, but you're going to hear one today. The fact is, as we understand, there is a lot that we have to both understand about it and see what God would actually work through it. Our whole series is surviving for the summer, so I'm taking a lot of different topics and trying to help us to be able to understand how biblically they relate to our lives. I know how to survive is exactly what God wants us to be able to understand as we would work through. I think it's frozen again. If you could be able to check. Okay. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you or abandon you. And so a great picture of God reaching out to us, helping us, and holding on to us in our time of need. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. Help us to hear your voice and to see all that you want to do in each of our lives. Lord, speak through me. Let your word be heard, not mine. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. I want to ask you some questions just to be able to try to put this in perspective. I'll give you 10 questions, and I'm going to do them pretty quickly. But here's the answers that you can have. The answers that would be from you would be never, rarely, sometimes, often. Never, rarely, sometimes, often. So I just want you to be thinking about it as I'm walking through this. How often do you feel unhappy doing so many things alone? Never, rarely, sometimes, often. How often do you feel you have nobody to talk to? Never, rarely, sometimes, often. How often do you feel you cannot tolerate being so alone? How often do you feel as if nobody really understands you? How often do you find yourself waiting for people to call or write? How often do you feel completely alone? How often do you feel you're unable to reach out and communicate with those around you? How often do you feel starved for company? How often do you feel it is difficult for you to make friends? How often do you feel shut out and excluded by others? Now, if you answered sometimes or often to very many of those, you're probably experiencing a significant sense of loneliness. If you answered never and rarely to most of those, then you probably function within the category of normal, healthy loneliness. Because most of us, I can't answer for every person, but most of us experience a bit of loneliness from time to time. Most of us have some sense of that that is a part of our lives that comes, and it just kind of happens. It's part of who we are and part of our personality, part of our makeup. Part of all that takes place. And so that can be very much a part. But how do we understand and how do we react to all of that and seeing what needs to happen in each of our lives? And how do we respond? How do we deal with that? I think that this message particularly might help you if you are not one who experiences it a lot, because some just don't. They're wired differently. But it may help you to realize those around you who do experience it and may need your help and intervention in that sense as well, because it happens in each of our lives. Now, one of the things we understand is loneliness is on the increase. Now, isn't that funny? Because we have more ways of connecting with one another than ever before, and yet loneliness is on the increase. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know that it's possible, and I know firsthand, not only did I read it, but I know it firsthand, it's easy to be lonely in a crowd. You don't have to be alone, but you can feel lonely even in a group of people. And so we understand that as we would look at loneliness and the increase that is happening, obviously, our technology is not filling that gap and that need. Scripture says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Now, how do you think that came about? I mean, because we know that everything that God made was good or perfect, right? So he made everything good. And do you think he kind of stood back and said, you know, I kind of missed that one thing. I should have made two of that guy. Then he wouldn't be like alone. Because, you know, it's not good for him to be alone. I can see that now. Do you think that happened? No, I don't think so either. I think that God wanted us to be able to see, wanted man to be able to see. We're not made to be alone. We're made to be in community. I don't necessarily say that everyone needs to be married. That's not what I'm saying. Because you've heard it said, and it's true, there's only one thing worse than being single and alone. Being married and alone. And they tell us 60% of marriages, there is a partner who feels significantly alone. Wow. Wow. So there's an importance of understanding we were wired and designed to be in community. Now, some of us need people more than others, and that's all a part of our wiring and our personality. If you're more of an introvert, you probably need more alone time, where an extrovert needs more community people time, because introverts tend to lose energy with people, and extroverts tend to gain energy with people. So the more they're around people, the more they feel that's there. But all of us need some alone time. All of us need some, whether no matter what our makeup and our wiring is, we all need some alone time because that's part of also who we are. How do we respond to that? I have to tell you very honestly that that is probably the biggest factor that brought me to Christ in my own life. I was really pretty satisfied that I had plenty of friends and plenty of people around, and I kind of let that be, you know, all that I needed. And I can remember I was teaching school, and my car broke down, and I'm sure God engineered all the circumstances, but my car broke down, and I had no one except my ride to and from school. And I you probably have this too, but I'll just be honest and admit it. You have kind of an A list of friends and a B list of friends. Now, don't ask me who's on the B list. I won't go there. But the fact is, your A list are the people you want to be around with more. B list is like if they're busy, you'll call these people. You know what I mean. Come on. So anyway, I called all the A list and they were all busy. I called all the B list and they were all busy. This is pretty bad. And I'm feeling pretty depressed and pretty discouraged. And so one thing led to another, and somehow the Holy Spirit worked in my heart and my mind and said, there are going to be times that you're going to be alone. You're not going to have any friends around. Then what will you do? And I realized the emptiness that was in me could only be filled by Jesus. And I gave my life to Christ, and my life changed. And I'd like to say, when I gave my life to Christ, that I never was felt alone again in my life, right? No, that's not true. You're going to have those feelings. It's going to happen. And I can't say that I never felt alone again. In fact, it wasn't very long after that, and I can remember saying, you know, Lord, I am really feeling lonely tonight. I wish that you'd just give me somebody with skin on it. Because, you know, Jesus is great, but there's just sometimes you want somebody with skin on them, you know? Somebody who's right there with you. So I prayed that prayer, and I went out to eat. I was alone. I went out to eat, and I sat at the counter at the restaurant, and this guy sat down beside me. He just kind of greeted me. I greeted him. And pretty soon I was in a conversation, and I don't know what happened, but we talked for about 2 or 3 hours. And it was just like, wow. I didn't realize it at the time, but when I got home that night, I was like, wow, somebody with skin on. That was great. Jesus, you did it. And I was so happy. Now, I'd like to say every time I prayed that prayer, it happened, but it didn't. Because there are sometimes we need to learn to fully just trust God, because we can't have all the answers within ourselves or within those that are around us. And there are sometimes I just need to learn to fully depend on Him. But God certainly uses all that process to help us to understand. Now, here's how we understand it's on the increase as far as loneliness. The most common answer to the question, how many close confidants do you have? How many people can you really confide in? Well, in 1984, the common answer was 3. In 2004, the common answer was 0. Now, that's not saying everybody here has nobody to confide in, but in general, we're seeing the loneliness factor increase. It's becoming more significant. It's sad. You can last 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without oxygen, and they say 4 seconds without hope. You see, we need one another. We need that kind of connection and that kind of relationship that God has brought us into. And so increasing medical concerns for loneliness, and this is really some of this information I really felt was pretty significant. It comes from, as we would look Psychology Today, some of the secular sources that tell us this is what is happening in our world and the needs. So as we would look at the medical concerns, we see depression and suicide are more likely as a result. Heart disease and stroke are higher incidence in those lonely. Increase in stress levels, decrease memory and learning as a result of that. Antisocial behavior, poor decision making, alcohol and drug abuse all increase. Progression of Alzheimer's. Altered brain functioning, increased chances of death by 14%, and a reduction in immunity. You can even get sicker easier when you're lonely. Now, isn't that fascinating? You know, don't you love when science finally catches up to what God has been saying all the time? I love that. I love that because what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is that God said it's not good for man to be alone. You see, God knew from the very beginning, we are designed to be in community. And that's why the church is who it is. That's why we have this community of believers. That's why it's so important that we understand why we're designed and how God wants to work through that. Now, loneliness is a state of mind or the perception of being alone. And that's why we say you can be alone in a crowd. Because it's that perception, it's that feeling of being lonely, it's that feeling of being alone that's a part of it. And so the scripture says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord personally will go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So there's a great importance of knowing He is there. Now, some of the causes of loneliness, as we would try to look at those and we try to understand, are given to us. Scripture says, even my father and mother abandoned me, the Lord will hold me close. You see, God, no matter what your physical surroundings are, God has said, I will build into your life what you need. I'll take care of you if you trust me. And so there's a great importance. Here are some of the things that are a part of creation of causes of loneliness. Aging is one of those. And you know, as I looked at this list and I thought about this, I thought, you know, we personally, as individuals, and maybe as a church, need to be thinking more how we can help make a difference in those that may be lonely. Great importance, and maybe it's just establishing our own ministry. Maybe it's doing something about it ourselves. I called my mom not too long ago, and my mom says, why do you tell everybody my age? Well, because I think it's pretty amazing you're going to be 90 on your next birthday. But the fact is that I said, so mom, like, how are you doing? She said, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And I said, well, like, you know, what have you been doing? She said, well, I tried to call a lot of old people today and encourage them. the fact is, like, we all have a responsibility to one another of encouragement. And this particular time period creates a greater sense of loneliness that's a part. Death and divorce, definitely contributors and causes to loneliness. So, like, if you're aware of these and you know somebody's going through that, that part of the body of Christ and reaching out to one another is trying to minister to them at this time, moving. When people move, that creates, you know, they've kind of lost their whole support network. And so there's a need for that, reaching out, because that sense of loneliness, physical isolation that happens. So we're isolated physically. Well, that can happen as well. Low self-esteem, because remember, it's a lot of what I'm thinking in my mind that impacts my emotions and impacts my life and how I deal with things. Opposition. So when I'm facing opposition and things are challenging or difficult, then you can know that that accompanying sense of loneliness is very likely that it's going to come in. Transition changes. Transition and change, those are also times where we're vulnerable. Rejection. And so we find and feel that that loneliness factor can be able to come in. Now, it's important that we would understand each of these things, because if you understand them, the more I understand what's going to create my feelings, the better I am at dealing with them. So if I know that I'm going to experience something like this, then how do I respond? Now I know I need how to respond to this, and so I can deal better. Commuting. Now, this is an interesting thing. It says there's every 10-minute commute gives you a 10% greater chance of loneliness. So if you have an hour commute, you have 60% chance of greater loneliness. Just think about that. Isn't that something? But statistically, that's what it tells us. And so I would say, if you have a long commute, start finding things to build into your life during that time that can help strengthen and encourage and surround you, that can be a part. And how you handle social media. You would think more connections would help us not to feel isolated and alone. But in reality, they say how we handle social media. Because oftentimes we'll see everybody is happy and you're not. So you think the whole world is happy, but I'm not. I mean, how many people take a selfie and go? You don't do that, right? You don't take those depressing selfies. And so why? And so then everybody else thinks, oh, the whole world is happy but me. So you have to be careful about that kind of comparison. So how you, not that social media is bad, but how you handle it can be, and you have to be aware of that. And so the scripture tells us, I will not leave you as orphans. You're not alone. I'll come to you. And so how should we respond to our feelings of loneliness? So this gets down. So let's use the word refuse to be lonely. Refuse. And so how should you handle it? One, recognize that it's a sign that something needs to change. So you're feeling a sense of loneliness, then you have to say, okay, this is a sign that something needs to change. I need to change my pattern, my behavior, my whatever my response is. I need to make sure. The effects of loneliness are physical and mental. So that's going to be pretty important for me to understand. I'm going to have to understand that I can be impacted by this physically. I may not even be as healthy. I increase my chances of death, heart attack, stroke, all those things that we listed. Become greater and physical, and then obviously mental as well. And so I also fight the emotions that would isolate. What happens when I'm feeling lonely? I withdraw. And if you're a melancholy personality, which I have a little bit of that too, then sometimes we even like to play sad music to make us feel sadder. Isn't that pitiful? Like, why do we do that? I don't know. Maybe you don't. You say, that's crazy. Who does that? A number of people do. So what do? We can't isolate. We don't withdraw, because that's going to increase. I mean, really, when you say, nobody wants to be around me, I don't have any friends at all, and when you come off, you go, yeah, who would want to be around you? I mean, really? I mean, because you think about when you're projecting that kind of image, it becomes like something that's not attractive, not anyone wants to be. And so what do? You increase your loneliness, and you withdraw more and you isolate more. And so what we've got to understand is that you've got to fight those emotions that would come in. You fight them and push them off and you go beyond. Don't isolate, don't withdraw, because that's only going to increase your feelings. Understand that serving will be a great defense. Now, isn't that amazing that a secular source would have to tell us serving is what we need, when the Bible tells us that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing? You were saved to serve, not saved to sit. So we need to do something, get involved, call Julie in Connections and say, okay, what do I do? I have this kind of factor that's happening in my life, and I know that means the sign is I need to change something. I need to get involved. I need to be serving. So how can I serve? Search for and build quality relationships who share values, attitudes, belief, and interests. That's the church. Here we are, building relationships. That's what it's all about. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so we, as a family of believers, need to continue to make sure that happens. Expect the best and begin consciously thinking positive. I make a choice in how my thoughts are going to go and start thinking positive, expecting the best. Not like, yeah, just what I thought, it would never work out. Make sure that you're moving in a different direction as a result. Here's what Eugene Peterson says in The Message, paraphrase. Who stood up for me against the wicked? Who took my side against evil workers? If God hadn't been there for me, I never would have made it. The minute I said, I'm slipping, I'm falling, your love, God, took hold and held me fast. When I was upset and beside myself, you calmed me down and cheered me up. Great stuff, great stuff. I never really thought about this before, but I want to share this with you just in the closing part of the outline. And this is from Paul, because I never see Paul as being a person who was lonely. That's just not in my brain. All the more I understand, and you that understand scripture or read lots of Paul's letters, you probably don't either, because that's just, I see him very self-sufficient, very confident, very industrious, very hardworking. I mean, all these things, very dependent on God, but I don't see him in that capacity. But here's what scholars tell us about this particular passage. I don't have time to read it all or go into it, but you read it all and you'll see. Here's what they tell us. They tell us the verbiage that he uses in this particular aspect indicate a sense of loneliness, a sense of feeling alone. Now, he uses the word, he says, in my departure. Now, that particular word rendered from the Greek and what it would mean, it has a sense of loneliness that is a part of it. So here we have an incredibly godly man who experiences loneliness. Are we ever immune from it? No, we're not. Are there going to be times when all of us are going to experience loneliness in our lives? Absolutely. But he handles it well. In fact, if you'll go back to letter B and look at it in your outline, I want to just point out a few of these factors that would have been a part of this time for Paul. One, aging. That would have been exactly where Paul was. Number three, moving. Titus, he says Titus is gone. So there are things that are moving in his life. Four, physical isolation. He's in prison. Hello? He's physically isolated. Number six, opposition. He says, Alexander, the metal worker, did great harm to me. Number seven, transition and change. He says, only Luke is here with me. Rejection. Number eight, he says, Demas has left me. In fact, everyone deserted me. So sometimes we kind of go through that quickly, that passage, not really hearing and thinking about what must that have done to Paul and how must he felt in that time period. Now, if we do, it helps us to know how do I deal with it in my life and how should I. He says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through the message might be, though the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Now, we don't really know if this was a physical thing that he actually was from a lion's mouth or if it was, you know, an impending danger that was a part of him. You know, you read in 2 Corinthians that whole long list of the dangers that he experienced and he was a part of. So, here's what we do. Always recognize that God is with you. That's what Paul did. He said, the Lord stood at my side. So see, no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, you're not alone. The fact is, maybe you should put these scriptures someplace. If this is a battle in your world, you should put these in front of you so you know I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. Two, trust God's strength to carry you. So whatever you're going through, trust him, because Paul knew it was God's strength working in him. He said, and gave me strength. So trust God for the strength that is needed. Scripture would be, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Three, use your time wisely. The fact is, Paul stayed busy sharing the gospel. So even though he was in prison, see, that's why some people say, well, I'm just at home. I can't really do very much. Paul was in prison. And he found ways that God could work through his life. Can we all find ways that God can work through? Yes, we can. We just need to start looking. He says, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity that comes into our life. Four, understand the paralyzing effect of loneliness. So if any of those factors are a part of your life, then you are susceptible to loneliness. And so what should you do? Realize that it'll paralyze you, it'll isolate you, and it'll hold you back. Paul wrote at least four books while he was in prison. He didn't allow that to isolate and keep him. So John Wesley says this, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Now that'll keep you busy. So there's an importance. Five, allow God to fulfill his purpose through you no matter your circumstances. Because see, we let our circumstances control us. Paul saw the message of Christ still needed to be shared, and he said, through me, it needed to happen. For we are God's work masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you've given us Jesus. And no matter what we face and where we're going, we're never alone. Sometimes there's just a time when we need someone with skin on them that can be close to us. And Father, thank you for the body of Christ. Help us to reach out to one another, to realize that you've created us to be in community. Help us to make a difference in our world and be grateful for the difference in us that you're making. We love you and give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.